Buck, did you see anything week 8 that stood out to you?
Hey, Bill, it was interesting. Usually I won't do this, but I had a chance to play some golf. So, I mean, I watch highlights and I watch games. The one thing that stood out was I think it was Waddle getting hurt by with Alabama. I mean, that's just golly. Those are the kind of things that just, you know, when you look at it from that perspective, that really hurts you. I mean, you know, but on the football side of it, I'll tell you what, all this talk about Kentucky being the team to be a team that's up and coming, I can't say enough about Missouri and Eli Drinkwitz and what they've been able to do, along with my buddy Curtis Looper, who's, I think, co-offensive coordinator or offensive coordinator there. I've really been impressed with what Missouri's been able to do in this kind of abbreviated season, you know, outside of the normal stuff. And, you know, I think when you start looking at this, you got to be real flexible. I mean, look at Florida not being able to play, the Big Ten back, but Graham Mertz, you know, playing lights out. Now he's out for 21 days. Is the Big Ten going to hurt itself because of the way they've set that up, where you're out 21 days instead of 10 or 14? You know, there's so many different variables with COVID, and my game was canceled this past week because of, you know, New Mexico and Colorado State. So, yeah, I think you just have to be flexible, man, and just be prepared for whatever's going to take place.
What'd you think about Michigan's performance?
I like Michigan. The reason I didn't put that at the front is that, are they going to tease us again, or are they going to be real? I think they do have a playmaker at quarterback. So that part. Still, the thing for Michigan to me is that they have been similar to some other schools that we look at that have had great position groups. So if you're a Michigan receiver, I think of Anthony Carter. I think of Braylon Edwards. I think, you know, I may leave some guys out. They've had some dudes that can play. And if you go to Michigan, they've missed on receivers. I think the same way Texas has missed on quarterbacks. Now they got Sam Ellinger, so that's been a difference. So it becomes almost one of those things, how can you miss on a position where you know you have to have the best players? And I'm not, and they've got some guys that can play now, but I'm saying when I think of Michigan, and don't we think of guys that have been top-notch players that go on to the league? Desmond Howard, who was more of a returner, but morphed into a really good receiver. That's the part for me with Michigan that I have to wrap my head around. Because I look at it from a historical perspective. I don't look at it as just this team, but I look at it over the last few years. And then I also look at how good were they at that position before, and why aren't they that good anymore? And I think until I see that consistently, like I can say Ohio State the last few years, every year they've got a dude, Olave now, they got the young kid in the back of the end zone. I can't even think of his name right now. It escapes me, but he's catching the ball, foot control very well. You know, they've had guys consistently. So you know when you are at Ohio State or Michigan, you have great receiver play, right? So I want to see that out of Michigan to see if that's the real deal. And if it is over the course of a 3 or 4 game stretch here, then I'll say maybe this is a year where they can go in and say, okay, we're not going to get pushed around by Ohio State.
Charles Arbuckle with us every Tuesday. I'm sure you've seen at least the replays. The Auburn play where the kick returner at least appeared. Now, it wasn't real clear. You have to go back and watch it slowly. Looks like the ball nips his finger. The SEC doesn't even review it. And now they're saying they should have.
I looked at that play. I mean, I don't know how many times I looked at it, even on coach's film.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, how do you not look at that? How do you not look at that? This is mind-blowing to me, Bill, that we have replay, right, and then you don't use it when you need to. So, prime example, what if they had just said in the IU game, because Penix, you know, if I replay that, didn't that look like it was almost a bang-bang play, right? It almost looked like he touched the pylon, but the ball hit the ground. It was hard to discern from the angle, any angle that they showed, right? But what if they hadn't replayed that consistently, or they just kind of let it? Because that's one of those replays you've got to take a long look at. I don't mind you take 5 minutes there or however long, because you need to get it right. And some people, Penn State fans, may say, oh, they didn't get it right, whatever. you shouldn't have had your guy running into the end zone, and maybe you kneel a few times. We saw that not only in college but in the NFL. But to me, if you have replay, SEC or any conference, why don't you use it? What is it there for? It's there for that, right? It's there to make sure you get the calls right or you're as close to accurate as you can be. I mean, that's what I thought it was about, right, Bill?
Absolutely. Yeah, and Lane Kiffin on Twitter last night, apparently he got fined $25,000 for retweeting some anti-officiating tweets.
Well, Joey Freshwater, that's not the first we're going to hear from him, and I'm sure he's going to be. Hey, the thing about Blaine Train, whatever you like or if you don't like him, he's going to be who he is, right? He's going to tell you how he feels, so be prepared for it.
Buck, you touched on the Wisconsin situation. Not only has Mertz tested positive, and they're gonna check to see if it's a false positive, so that's still possible. But the third teamer, Chase Wolf, has also tested positive. They're down to their fourth team quarterback, who literally they say took a couple snaps, which I don't remember, in 2018.
Yeah, that's the scary part about the 21-day rule in the Big Ten. Now, if you have a situation where a whole position group like that, and we talk about numbers, so say if you only have three quarterbacks and then maybe the fourth is just a pure walk-on kid that you love and he's great for the program, but he's not going to play. Oh, not so fast. He's going to be the one that's going to step up and have to play. And I think we're going to see that with the offensive line situation. If it's not a mandate from a standpoint of CDC or some guidelines from that perspective, I know it's myocarditis, and I get that, but I just think it's a little bit harsh, and it's going to really put some teams in harm's way. If you're going to play, you're going to put teams in even a worse position from a standpoint of how you put them out in the field and what they have to be exposed to if they don't have numbers. And we saw that earlier this year, right, when Navy was getting throttled, when we saw some of these teams that were just not prepared because they didn't have numbers or they hadn't really done any hitting. I hope that doesn't happen to some of these Big Ten schools. So, you know, what if it's every quarterback in the Big Ten? I'm not being funny, but what if that happens? And that's the kind of stuff that concerns you, because we can see with this virus, you can get it. And when you do, you're going to hopefully for his sake and the team that he doesn't come out with another positive test, and maybe that's the situation. But it puts them in a tough, tough place, especially with a team that looks like they're ready to compete this year for the Big Ten title.
Josh in London, Ohio, says, ask Buck his thoughts on Cincinnati and if they are that one group of five team that really sticks out to him.
The few times that I've watched them play this year, Bill, I haven't been able to study them as much as I want to. I like Cincinnati. And I saw them coming on a few years ago. I think Luke Fickell was doing an outstanding job with that team. It's a program that he's built, and they know how to win, and they know how to play. And I don't think they're afraid to play anybody, anywhere, anytime. And I think that's the part for me. The physicality of that team has been impressive whenever I watch them. Sit down and watch a half a game or a few series. I've been impressed with them on both sides of the ball, and I think it's a testament to Luke and what he's been able to do. A guy that didn't get the Ohio State job, but held it pretty nicely there. I think he's doing some phenomenal things, and this is a good year for him to be in a situation where the group of five really has some eyeballs on it.
Buck, we'll let you go there, sir. Appreciate you, man.
Hey, Bill, let me just say something real quick. Jim Bonds, our backup quarterback, who should have been a starter my senior year, he's the head coach of St. Francis out in California. He's battling cancer, man.
I remember him.
He could throw the wide option better than anybody. Kid could spin the ball. He's battling right now. Pray for him and his family. I text him, I call him, just trying to keep his spirits up. Jim Bonds. Dude was he could. I wish he would have played our senior year. We may have won nine games or so, but the thing that's most important now is that he's battling for his life. So just let people know that so they can pray for him and his family.
Absolutely, Buck. Absolutely. Talk to you soon, sir.
Okay, take care.